Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
The year was 2000.
J-Lo had us waiting for tonight.
Christina Maria Aguilera was inviting us to Ven Conmigo Solamente Tú.
Oh. Everyone's Dell laptops were shaking at the thought of Y2K.
Oh, shit. That was mine.
Oh.
Well, similar. Everyone's parents were convinced we would die when the computers read 00.
Fuck, what was my other one?
And a fun fact, Willow Smith was born to whip her hair back and forth.
Oh, mm-hmm. Little Bobby Willow.
Bobby Willow.
What the fuck else happened in 2000?
Somebody
lost Best New Artist at the Grammys in 2000. Ooh.
Somebody did.
And we're going to get into that.
Was it a curse or a blessing? We'll find out.
Hey, I'm T. Kyle.
Hey, I'm Bradley Stern.
This is our new brand. Yeah, no.
No, that's not going to work.
Hey, I'm T. Kyle.
And I'm Bradley Stern.
And this is It's Britney, Bitch.
A podcast for stans.
By stans.
Dedicated to 20 years of the living legend, Britney Jean Spears.
Where do we begin with 2000?
Where do we begin? I think we should begin with the album.
Yeah.
Should we do it again, if you will?
Oops.
Oops.
Again. Welcome back. Oh, I'm T. Kyle, by the way.
I
was in the last one. I don't even know if we introduced ourselves.
I don't think we did.
Who? Just two gays.
Just, it's fine. You get it by now. I'm Bradley Stern.
Moomoos.
Moomoos.
And I'm T. Kyle.
Thank you for tuning in for another episode.
Yes, the second year.
Third. 98, 99, 2000.
The well, third year.
We're not mathematicians. We're stans.
There'll be so many. We can't even count. They keep going. When does it end?
It won't end.
Yes. Thank you for joining us for this next episode.
So what we're going to do, just like we did in the first one, is we're going to run down the track listing of Oops, I Did It Again, the second studio album by the recording artist Britney Jean Spears.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm going to pull it up.
Crack open a Red Bull.
Oh, is it? Do you want to come over? I'm going to pull it up on Spotify so that we're getting the same experience as
not
if you wanted to.
Not sponsored by Spotify.
Not sponsored, but would love it. It might start playing. No, it didn't. Okay. So we're going to go through that, and then we can maybe talk about any songs that aren't on this version after. Because she is a B-side girl, or was.
A B. Get it.
In the mix. Okay, so the first song on Oops, I Did It Again is a song called Oops, I Did It Again.
Oh, never heard of it.
So that's a song.
I mean, one of her most memorable music videos and songs.
For sure. I think the music video, I don't know if this is, for some reason, I feel like it's almost more relevant. Like, I feel
the
like
cat
people,
suit.
The cat suit. People make fun. Oh, the cat suit's like at Urban Outfitters now for the ironic teens.
Ew.
Yeah.
Do they even know?
They don't.
Ugh, but they're skinny enough to wear it. Fucking damn it.
Yeah, I feel like it's been like parodied more recently or just
Ramona
like,
Singer on Lip Sync Battle.
Yes. Oh, Ramona Singer's.
Britney can't dance? Explain this. I was going to tweet that, but I thought I was going to get in trouble by the Housewives powers.
Conflict of interest. So, oops. Well, no, not a year. The album came a year after Baby. A pretty quick turnaround for another global hit.
Not like they do these days.
No, we're still waiting for another one.
I know, we're going to be waiting for B10 until like 2028.
Do you have any oops memories? Do you remember when you saw it? I don't.
Again, it was making the video on MTV.
Oh,
like
yeah.
When I think of 2000, I think of that's when I really started. Like, this is when I was allowed to watch MTV because they just gave up. My parents were like, fine, let this freaking gay ass watch this Britney Spears.
Right.
So for me, all of the videos from 2000 and even like the next few years are like making the video, you watched it, and then that was the premiere. So there was no,
oh my God, you're,
you
know, right,
like that YouTube was the premiere. Or that was like where you saw it. So they built up this like dramatic,
the anticipation through the episode. God, and then you so finally good. See, oh my God, I forgot that's I how we watched premieres.
Oh yeah. I can hear and see like, you know, the graphics with like the camera spinning.
5, 4, 3 Yeah. And you're like freaking the fuck out.
I'm
like
literally fucking shaking. I'm shaking right I'm now shaking. Thinking about it.
Oh my God, you so guys, exciting. I'm shaking.
Like it doesn't happen anymore these days.
It doesn't happen anymore these days. There's no countdown on Instagram.
No. It's like, oh, it leaked. Yeah. Everyone's like, oh, flop. Like, that just feels like every premiere now.
We just get it to the YouTube and write flop.
Yeah.
That's it. Thumbs down. We're done.
Oh, my God.
You're right. I absolutely now am feeling the anticipation of them making, making the video. Great video, huh? Yeah. That lasted for 18 years? 18 years.
This is like the first actress knee we got.
This is actress knee, yes.
Spoken word knee.
Spoken
word knee. I thought the old lady dropped it into the ocean in the end.
And Titanic was so, I mean, it still is really, but it was so big then.
Oh, like, yeah.
Everyone went to see it. I went to go see the midnight showing with my mother. Gay signs from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. It was like,
I cried.
Yeah. Oh, we all did. And also like Leo was baby gay first crush maybe.
No.
No? Who was yours?
Like WWF wrestlers.
Oh, well.
Because they used to wear like really tight Speedos.
Triple H.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, not him, but like the other ones.
Okay.
He was dating,
Undertaker.
He was dating China, rest in peace. So like I didn't like hit on him.
Oh, that's very honorable.
He's dating my fave.
Yeah, true. Titanic.
It's been 84 years.
Now, I am trying to remember where I saw it, but I just can't. I don't know. But MTV, making the video. Cat suit.
Yes.
Latex.
Camel Tony.
Iconic
also, her
look.
Hair was a serve.
In her
this.
Hair was
I
a
would
serve.
Just like to say that Britney Spears' hair in this was so good.
Invented Ariana Grande.
You said it.
Well, now we said it.
Honestly, though, it's probably inspired by it.
I mean, I feel like her makeup for especially 2000 is what we see on girls to a certain extent
right now.
Yeah, and also that like highlight under the brow bone. Oh my God, I'm watching too much.
Jaclyn Hill shaking.
Jaclyn Hill. And the glossy lip and like the...
Oh, next episode, Brad will be teaching you how to do a smoky eye.
Mew Mewa.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Hey guys, welcome back to my channel.
Use Morphe code MUMUS for 30% off.
Oh God. So, oops. Titanic reference.
Again with the black sneakers in this video.
Yeah, same but you know sometimes. What? They let her dance in them. She dances in them.
You know what? That's true. Bring them back.
Bring them the fuck back, please. Not that she doesn't now, but she was so confident in them.
She was. Skechers.
Skechers. Song? Is it in your upper echelon of Britney songs?
No. Oops isn't there. But I think it's like Baby, where it's, you know, one of those songs that everyone, like, it comes on in bars now. And
yeah.
Everyone knows it.
I was going to say, yeah, whenever I do a Britney night, like, way more than Baby. Like, Oops really gets people going because it's goofier. It's sing-along ear, especially the bridge, of course.
Play with your heart.
Everyone knows the hand little, motion.
You know, yeah. Dance
we're
move.
Doing it in real life. Mm-hmm. You can't see it. It's another, it's like Baby, what can you really say? We all know it. Iconic. Gave her an iconic look. We stan. Track 2, Stronger.
An anthem.
A self-empowerment anthem.
Yes, which I didn't realize until later in life.
Stronger to me is important, and I didn't realize this until later, because for me, as a gay youth / just a youth, I never needed Britney to do a self-empowerment anthem in the vein of Born This Way, Firework, We Are Who We Are.
Right.
Which is not shade to people who enjoy those songs or like found meaning in those songs. But for me, Britney gave me that empowerment through anything that she did, like her music and who she was.
Right. I also don't feel like I was there yet as a person.
No.
Like, I was still a kid.
I was still, yeah. Not, would you say not... Yet a woman?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And not yet a girl.
Not yet a girl.
Still not.
Still not. There's time. Stronger, in retrospect, was ahead of the girls in providing a self-empowerment anthem. Mm-hmm. I actually love it more over time.
Yes. I appreciated it more looking back.
Yes. And the looks in this video are also like stunning. She looks stunning.
Mm-hmm.
The black outfit, the sparkly one with the chair sequence.
Yeah.
Obviously.
And I also, I mean, I am a huge fan of Joseph Kahn's work.
Yes, the problematic yet usually good.
Why is he problematic?
Oh, he's the worst. He's really rude on social media.
Oh, right.
He, like, doesn't back down from, like, terrible jokes. And it's not like I'm easily offended at all ever. He just, like, he's just a shithead. He really is. Like, he doesn't, he thinks he's being edgy, but he's just, like, not funny.
Got it.
Yeah.
Well, all of that aside, I'm a huge fan of his work.
Yeah.
Especially with, I mean, recently he's been like, Taylor Swift's like, mm-hmm. done everything for her.
Yeah.
I am like thinking back to how cool would it be if Stronger got remastered with the technology and like his skill set now. Oh my God.
I know.
Because it was good then.
Yeah.
But like, you know.
The sequence like the scene, on the bridge.
The rain. Oh my God. Uh-huh. It was so effing cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she has really cool outtakes from it, too, on the Greatest Hits My Prerogative DVD. Did you buy it?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. I have it in my Legends binder over there
uh-huh.
in the closet, protected.
It's, oh, overprotected.
Oh. Honestly, yes. It's in
It's under several wrap, layers of plastic.
In a binder, probably out of reach for most people.
Yeah. And this is the beginning of the Joseph Kahn relationship, and he would do several more in her videography, Toxic and Womanizer.
Mm-hmm.
And Perfume.
And they're all kind of, in terms of music videos, they're almost like a little bit of a trio. Like they all fit
yes.
together.
Yeah. And then Perfume was like, oops.
Oh.
Yeah.
A tragedy that we'll get to
A tragedy,
later on.
Which was not his own doing. So yeah, later. See us in 2013, mm-hmm. where we're going to cry for 40 minutes.
Oh my God.
Let's move right along through this door. Track 3. Don't go knocking on my door. Not my fault. Should have been a single.
You think?
I think so.
Really?
I don't know why. Ooh, yes,
yeah,
I do
why?
Know why. It's real good. I live for it.
Come back. Okay. Well, I mean, she's kind of...
She could have done a door-themed visual.
Oh, and then she could have been like, don't knock on it.
Yeah.
Not
my fault.
I mean, yeah, she's kind of serving vocals in this one
Time
a little bit.
Is it? No. Yeah, I think so. She did this on tour as well. And I don't know. I like it. That's my expert analysis.
I mean,
you're fine on it.
I mean, it's also like all those songs back then are so different from what like a single would be now.
Yeah. And what is a single now?
Right.
It doesn't make sense. You're right.
So I guess maybe. I'm trying to think of like what, I mean,
it's
as
not,
we go through, I'll think of which ones I had on heavy rotation.
Yeah, it's also not my most should have been a single of the album.
Right.
Anyway, I should just say, as opposed to like filler, I think it's a bop. Next up is a song older than she is. I Can't Get No Satisfaction.
So good.
So good. Twisting the narrative, twisting the lyrics to match her situation.
Mm-hmm.
It was originally by... The Rolling Stones.
I had honestly had no idea who originally sang it. I thought Britney was the original singer of it.
I didn't. It's
Are
the Rolling Stones.
No, I'm kidding. I know they're
a check.
Yeah, this is the song where she, it was like the first time she dragged Megyn Kelly, basically.
Yeah.
She said, when I'm watching my TV and that girl comes on and tells me how tight my skirt to be. She mm-hmm. can't tell me who to be. And that was her first... that was the first track that she scalped out of Megyn Kelly's head, who later on in her career, she will iconically drag in a music video.
Yes. Stay tuned for 2008.
This was part one. Actually, no. In numerous music videos, she goes for a random
That's
blonde
true.
Woman.
That is true.
That's on a television set.
Megyn Kelly basically saw all of those videos and was like, I'm going to be that woman.
Yeah.
So the most important part of I Can't Get No Satisfaction, of course, is that it is the lead of the iconic, genuinely iconic 2000 VMAs performance.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about that right after the track.
Yes.
Thing. But that is how most of us know it. It is crucial to the narrative. And it's a good song on its own right, too. But it's like most important as a live performance.
Yes.
Moving right along, track 5. Don't Let Me Be the Last to Know, which I once was walked in on singing full body belting because I thought I was home alone. And my mom and sister just walk in and I'm, duh.
So you hate this song.
I will say it triggers me. I still sing it to myself in the shower and stuff, though.
It's a pretty song. It is. This is like a pretty ballad.
It is. It's one of those. It's a vocal knee. We still are having some serving of vocals from her.
Don't really understand why this was a single, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like when I do Britney Power Hours, so if you guys
explain
don't know,
the Britney Power Hour.
There's a few listening who have experienced Britney Power Hour. So, and I'll just get this out now because I'll probably reference it at some points. So it's 60 minutes and it's 60 songs or videos, and every single minute you do a shot of beer. It's a very college moment. And in college, I started making Britney ones because I was sick of all the, you know, straights making these like ones that had all rock and, you know, other songs that I didn't like. So I started doing Britney chronological power hours. And whenever it would get to this, I'm just like, okay, just not, it's like a weird transition moment.
I'll give you that.
But like, she looks incredible in it.
The music video actually came out in 2001. So I guess
we
can elaborate then. But it was actually released as the final single at the top of January 2001. Mm-hmm. Fun fact. And the other fun fact about this song, which I remember then forget every other year, is that Shania Twain co-wrote this song.
Oh.
Yes.
Man, I feel like a woman, not a girl. Mm-hmm. Not yet one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Literally. That's important because, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's why.
I don't have anything good or bad to say about Shania. Oh, there was a quote from her that I wanted to bring up. Britney was quoted as saying, "It was my idea to record the song. I was just like, I like this song."
Okay.
Uh-huh. Work. Okay, well, work.
Yeah, okay, work. Yeah.
She did that. Anyway, moving right along, the next track on the album, What You See Is What You Get. This, I think, is my should have been a single. Well, there's more, but one of my top should have been a singles.
I agree. This was a song on this album.
Also a self-empowerment moment, mm-hmm. really. Very assertive.
This also could have been on Britney, the next album.
Yes.
Like, this feels like a very... Because Oops, I Did It Again as a whole, it's more closer to Britney in mm-hmm. terms of timing than mm-hmm. it was Baby.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of songs that I think are on this album feel like they're left over from Baby One More Time.
Yeah.
And then this is the one where I'm like, oh, this literally could be on.
Yeah, it's totally like album. On the verge of being like...
It's more electro.
It is. And it's more empowering, more assertive, and even like...
Addressing her critics.
Addressing
for
her
the
critics.
First time ever.
And the line, "I can be anything you dream of, but I gotta feel free." She'll do
She's
whatever.
She's starting to snap.
She's
already
really starting to snap.
Second album, track seven. She snaps.
She sprinkled in the hints way at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The next one is as prophetic as it gets. Lucky.
Oh my god. This is definitely one of my all time favorites.
Yes.
I think top 10.
Wow. We'll have to talk about that later. Mm-hmm. Lucky is hugely important to the Britney narrative. And only got more important in time.
Yes.
As it predicted.
Everything.
Everything. Also, importantly, and we haven't even addressed them until now, the voicemail interludes / the phone call interludes on this album.
Oh, yeah, with Felicia. And
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Getting into Lucky, From What You See to Lucky, the voicemail one is probably the best one on the album.
Beep. Now do your thing. And then isn't the guy like, "Britney, you're such a nerd. My God.
I can't believe
it. It made
no
sense.
This.
Interlude knee.
I enjoyed the interludes. I felt like they gave them sort of a, I don't know.
Oh, I like when people talk in the beginning of songs. I think it's kind of rad.
Exactly.
Anyone get that?
That was a little more personal. So the interlude comes in, Britney voicemail. "Britt, you're such a nerd. I was thinking about the movie the other night." And they're talking about the movie where she's so rich and she has all these things, but she's still sad. And then we go into Lucky. Lucky is a song that addresses having it all, seemingly,
mm-hmm.
but crying at night.
Yeah.
She clearly identified with later in life, if not at that point.
Right. And I remember, I think the music video masked it for me because it was so, like, she's being so dramatic and she, like, comes out and she's like, this is a story about a girl named Lucky. Mm-hmm. And she's, like, being super fan. It's, like, a very fantasy moment where she's, like, acting and she's playing a part that she's clearly not. Because if you watched MTV and you watch all these shows, like, she was super nerdy, mm-hmm. super humble, shy, awkward. Yeah. And then in this video, she's playing a movie star who's, like, so famous.
Glamour.
Playing like a diva where she's like on her little cell phone that's mm-hmm. like a flip phone and she's like, oh, like blah, 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 yelling at the guy and you're like, oh, that's so not Britney or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then so when she's like crying and it's dramatic, I think I was fooled a little bit by the music video being so, I'm like, oh my god, she's an actress.
Yeah.
And then fast forward to 10-15 years later and you're like, oh shit, like, oh, this is actually real. And mm-hmm. she was probably feeling that then.
Yeah, I would say she was probably starting to feel the effects of fame.
Oh yeah, 2000 started to get rough for her.
And she was 18 to 19, criticisms were coming in that mm-hmm. she was too sexual and that she was, the lip syncing accusations began at that point.
The media, I feel like also media grew, like that's when it really started to take off.
Yeah. What do you think the actress Lucky, where do you think she is right now?
She is in that same robe.
Yeah.
Because Lucky never throws away a single outfit. She wears the same outfit for 20 years. Kind of like our fave. And she's sitting in that same robe and watching TLC. She's watching 90 Day Fiancé.
She probably,
on the couch.
Yeah.
She still has the same flip phone.
I actually feel like Lucky is joining the cast of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills right now.
Oh my god.
And she's like banking on that one time she won as like her ticket.
Lucky is revealed as Kim Richards.
Totally. I think she's totally a social housewife in 2018. I think that's where Lucky's at.
What is Roger Johnson from Pop News doing these days? Oh, it's you.
It's me. That's my career. Shocker. Thank you.
Roger Johnson from moomoos.com.
He was a terrible intern. That's where they are now. Mm-hmm. That's now, you know, you don't have to go to a BuzzFeed. Where are they now? Oh, that mirror in the video is so good that she holds up.
Mm-hmm.
As are the mascara tears, which have become like sort of iconic from the video.
Wasn't
there like a debate about like how they would have fallen on her face? Because they're streaked down.
Yes, and they would have fallen technically down onto the nose. And well, then like, but that doesn't look good.
No.
That's not glamour.
No, she clearly cried sitting up.
Yeah, and then laid down exhausted.
Yeah. So we've debunked that. All right, we're going to move right along to One Kiss From You.
A filler.
The okay. first...
I was glad you said it too, because I was like, oh, this is a filler.
Honestly, the first time I feel filler of the album.
Yes.
Despite your hatred for Don't Go Knocking On My Door.
I mean, I don't hate it. I just didn't come knocking for it.
But still much better than One Kiss From You.
Oh, like, yeah, that's... this is complete filler. Like, definitely a leftover from Baby One More Time.
Mm-hmm. It's bubbly, it's fine. I would say it's our least liked one to date.
Yes. Yeah, at least from Oops.
Yeah. Do better. But then we get into the incredible Where Are You Now?
Okay, I have a statement about the song that I would like to make.
Yes.
Because in the previous episode, I said during a song called I Will Be There that I felt that I Will Be There is the second best vocal she has served. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to make a very controversial statement here.
Oh my God.
And say that Where Are You Now is her first best vocal.
I agree.
Are you serious?
I absolutely agree.
Really?
Yes.
Oh my God. I was so nervous. I was like, I'm going to get fucking dragged.
No.
For saying this.
No.
But I listened to it over and over again with headphones.
Uh-huh.
As they say to do.
Uh-huh.
And not just the one note that she hits at the end.
Right. The note.
The note.
But it keeps going.
Through the whole song.
Yeah.
It's very crisp.
Yes. I feel like Where Are You Now is the holy grail for the stands who are screaming in defense of vocal knee.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, besides that note, it's just consistently a belter.
Yes.
It's so good.
I feel so relieved right now.
Oh,
I was
yeah.
like, I'm making
I know.
Such a bold statement here.
No, I agree.
In 20 years of everything, I'm...
It's my lifeblood in a lot of ways. When I hear it, I'm just like, yes, this is why I stand. Yes, mm-hmm. yes, yes. You know, when you get past the hits and things like that, it's like, this is evidence of the gift.
The range.
Beyond just the funky, cool tracks that are hot on the radio.
Right.
Mm-hmm. She has the range.
She does.
Did. God. What are you saying about what you need on Glory? Yeah, Where Are You Now is the Stan vocal knee
mm-hmm.
Triumph, moving right along. Can't Make You Love Me, which I actually think might be the should have been a single.
Yeah.
It's like a perfect combination of that I can't get no satisfaction vibe of like fancy things and I don't care what you say about me, but I just want you to love me.
This is also in, this also feels to me like it could have been on Britney.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah.
it follows that same theme of like, she's now addressing
yeah.
media, haters, getting backlash. Like, this is the first time she ever really did that in songs.
It feels like the prequel to What It's Like to Be Me.
Yes.
Yeah. Which we'll get into when we talk about Britney, the album. But it's got such... I mean, I'm Just a Girl with a Crush on You is really important.
Don't care about money.
Oh, that's my point. Actually, very Michael Jackson-esque vocals here. She's mm-hmm. just all the like nasally, like weird noises that she makes. Very MJ.
Yep.
Yes, we stan Can't Make You Love Me.
We stan a legend who stands legends.
Yes, basically. It's true.
Actual
always
legends.
Inspired. And this is actually so weird. So Can't Make You Love Me reminds me of Michael. The next track, When Your Eyes Say It, Janet. Silky smooth.
Huh. Like, I never thought of that, and now I actually hear it.
Barely their vocal, kind of like whispering.
Okay.
Way too seductive for this album. Like,
yes.
When people accused her of being like baby porn, like Lolita-y, this is like among the most like, okay, I see that you're...
I was going to say the song was a filler for me.
I just think it's actually just way more adult than this album.
Right. Well, now that now my eyes see it differently.
Now your eyes see it.
Yeah, because your eyes said it. And now my eyes see it. And I'm like, oh.
The things that she says on this song are like... That's so sexual. I mean, your feelings run so deep.
Now I hear the Janet.
Oh, yes. Completely Janet. And I just think it is like way more mature than the rest of the album. Like very deceivingly so.
Got it. Well, I was deceived.
You were?
I'm like, oh, this is a filler.
Sure. Yeah. You were like, it's slow. I'm over it.
Yes. You gotta turn it up.
I think it's maturity, and I actually think like if it was on Glory, it would make sense. Finally, we are moving on to a record that marks her songwriting debut, Dear Diary.
You know,
She wrote it.
You know what? She did.
She wrote it. I feel like we just need to hear this intro real quick. I forget about the synths.
Vocals. Dear Diary. Today I saw a top.
Get out of your own home right now. I will say she really
it's
has...
It's not her worst.
It's not her worst. She really has a knack.
We'll drag that song later.
She has a knack, though, for really letting you know to hit skip with the first line, like a la My Baby. Like, as people know it, as Tiny Hands.
Yeah.
When you hear, Dear Diary, it's like, all right, we're good.
It's Tiny Hands' knee.
It is Tiny Hands' knee. Self-penned, most personal. I mean...
I can't even think of the rest of the song, honestly, because I don't think I've ever listened past 30 seconds.
Oh, God. I appreciate it as a diehard. I appreciate the effort that she put into constructing this song.
diary. I'll confide in you.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow. Basically me on Tumblr.
Me on my live journal at the time.
Dear
very
Tumblr,
much.
Today I saw a vine. Free Shavaka. Ew, I need to cut all of this out. No, you, I'm leaving it in.
You need to cut it.
My debut album.
This is like partially your album recording sessions, to be honest. Okay, so the other thing is, that was the last track on the album, but there were some songs.
For a reason.
For the reason. She really shut it down with that one.
Ooh.
There were some other tracks that were not on the standard, including one of my favorites, Girl in the Mirror.
Oh, this is a good one.
We love a bop. Girl in the Mirror, I still reference to this day. What a twist to find out that the girl in the mirror is me.
Oh my God, who would have thought?
I didn't see it coming. The whole song, I'm like, who is this bitch? Come to find out, it's me.
Oh my God.
But as a pop song, it is classic Scandi pop goodness. It's really catchy. And yeah, that twist. Spoiler alert, oops.
Spoiler alert, she looks in the mirror and she sees herself.
That's also a good note-ish, I think. Yeah. Is me. Yeah, she does that.
But also, isn't she sad in this one too?
Oh, yeah.
Right, so it's kind of like it partners with Lucky a little bit.
It does. It definitely does.
And they're like, oh, we can't have another one of these songs on this album.
I know. It was on the international.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you're right. And on the Asian. Also on the Asian was You Got It All, which is actually recorded in 97 when she was like getting ready to do Baby.
Yeah, this
Baby.
Is an early one.
Yeah, they tacked it onto Oops, which is a bizarre phenomenon. And also one that she performed during that Singapore showcase that
on your YouTube.
Posted on my YouTube. Good song. Just like so weird that it popped up out of nowhere. They must have had some sort of agreement. They had to do it.
They're like, she still can sing.
It's like the original Radar. They had to tack it on.
Oh my God.
We'll get to Radar later. And any other ones? Oh, Heart. I know I've been hard on you.
I like this song a lot.
Me too.
Wait, this was on Oops?
Yeah.
It was a bonus track, right?
It was a bonus Japanese, Australian, Mexican, Asian, and UK special edition.
Was it re-released again, like in later years at some point on like the singles?
No, but it was, it was on the singles collection box, okay. And it was also like one of the B-sides.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really like the song because it's like her kind of forgiving herself for being a part. And I'm like, these themes I never noticed until I was an adult.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, wait a minute. The signs were all there.
Yeah. She was already going through it.
Yeah. She was like really beating herself up and really feeling the stress of being a superstar.
It's true. And a superstar she was because Oops famously held the record for the highest first week debut for a female artist. Oops debuted at number one with the first week sales of 1.3 million copies.
Mm-hmm.
That was the record for the highest debut week for a female artist.
Didn't she come out of the gate as highest artist ever?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then...
because then the Backstreet Boys or NSYNC.
Right.
One of them.
Right. It was snatched fairly quickly. However, this record, which we held very dearly, was eventually shattered by Adele with 25.
A worthy snatching.
I guess.
But... still,
still bitter.
We're gonna write a ballad about
it. Still mad about it.
Also, like, it could be kind of funny to come up with like a fake sponsor.
I'm thinking of how RuPaul does it with Michelle, and they just start talking about Squarespace.
Yeah, brought to you by squarespace.com/Brittany Jean for your more personal website needs, like something like that. Like,
yes.
Are you looking for something more personal?
Squatty potty.
Is your pussy hanging out? And now a word from our sponsors.
Totally.
Flat tummy tea. Eat it, lick it, snort it, fuck it.
Oh, no.
Do you hate going into work and feeling like your missus, she's too big, now she's too thin? Flat tummy tea. Not sponsored.
People can take everything away from you. but they can never take away this podcast. But the question is, have you subscribed?
That is it.
So that was Oops. Really, the beginning of the Imperial reign. You know, Baby made the gigantic splash, but this is her really as the queen of pop of the moment. That, yeah, important moment during this time that actually separated her from the pack even further was the 2000 VMAs performance.
Yes.
So we actually just rewatched it for nostalgia's sake to remember all the moments.
And it's just so great.
It really is. The opening sequence is very live.
Mm-hmm.
Coming Mike down the stairs. On. Mike is hot.
She's in a little pantsuit with that top hat.
Yes. It starts to rip away a little bit at the sides even. Mm-hmm. And you're like, something's funny here. She's having a wardrobe malfunction before that existed. And as she explodes into her nude, strategically placed Swarovski crystal body suit, later emulated by Heidi Montag on the world's,
yeah,
what is it called? Miss World.
Miss Universe. World Universe, USA.
Body language
whatever.
Performance.
Oh my God. Did you ever have those pants back in the day that buttoned up the sides?
Yes.
Okay, so I...
Did you?
I specifically bought these so that I could pull them off and think that I was Britney Spears.
I can see that.
Because that's the point of those pants is that they were for like basketball players or whatever to like warm up in, and you just like rip them off.
Yeah.
I wore them not to work out because what's that? But I would wear them and I would just stand there and I'd rip them off and pop all the buttons and be like, oh, I can't get no. Numerous times.
Yeah. Sadly, there's no footage of that we can provide.
Oh my God. I'm actually, if there may be. Who knows?
Yeah.
Just Joyce is going to get her VHS.
Join our Patreon and you can see this footage. Clothes come off, and that is literally the moment when the media decides she's a total slut.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it was shocking as all hell. Looked like she was naked.
This is her. I think this was her first. I mean, like the Rolling Stone cover the year before was shocking.
True.
But this was live TV.
Yeah.
This is when the VMAs were getting
Were shaking.
Yeah. This is when they were getting millions and millions and millions of views. They were like the. Honestly, they were one of the only, very few, count on one hand, music, live television shows.
Yeah,
and so this was, she shook the girls up.
She shook the girls up. This, we can't even overstate how controversial and shocking it was at the time. Even though now it's just like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Then it was just, we forget now, but she was so tied to being a virgin, being virginal angel.
Mm-hmm.
Like her whole thing was that she was a sweetie that would never, you know, sin. And this was the first, well, I mean, from the get-go.
Well, the cat suit pushed in. And then this was.
Yeah.
And also, too, I remember because this is back in the days when you had SD television, people thought she was nude.
Oh, completely.
Like it looked like she was in a nude suit.
Yes.
That was see-through. And it was shocking.
Yes.
People were really like.
Our fave did that for the first iconic VMAs performance. As we discussed in the previous episode, 99 VMAs was a cute girl.
Yes.
But this is the first time that she had everyone talking afterward.
And it wasn't even really that she danced in this one, which she spends most of the time of this performance in that egg in the back, just dancing and kind of. The mix of Oops is so good in this one. I mean, it needs to be released as a studio version somewhere. RCA, get on that. But, I mean, she spends probably half the performance in that little egg.
Yeah,
standing there.
We take it for granted, as per usual, because we were so scandalized that we didn't realize she wasn't actually fully moving the whole time.
Right. It was just, you were so focused on, body.
And she doesn't, for most of her VMAs, either. Like,
true.
It's more like, oh my God, what is happening on stage than it is like, oh, she slayed that particular move. However, we do get some iconic moves that follow all the way to Vegas here. The ending kneeling back bend, we get an homage, I think it's an homage during Me Against the Music.
Oh,
in Vegas.
Totally is.
I also love her in the egg. She has that little wave.
Mm-hmm.
So, stupid.
And love when that. The eagle eye camera at the top, she like looks up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, like, yeah. Ooh. Which I didn't even think about.
Subtly like, planned.
Yeah, planned. Exactly. Like she knew what she was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that was. That
and
was
I just cool. love when she drops to the ground at the end and it's like the where she like raises her arms oh. up. And it's that iconic photo that.
The stare. Always,
yeah.
I was thinking like that face is what I stan. Mm-hmm. Like her
she was on fire.
Knowing that she's like, I just ate that.
Yeah, she knew she killed it.
It's she gets that look when she knows.
It's just incredible.
It's almost like at the end of that performance, like that was a new person. And then of course, you know, it only got more and more like ferocious as we get into the 2001 performance. But yes. I would venture to say this might be, no, I don't know. I can't really rank them because ultimately my favorite, spoiler alert, is 2003.
Oh, well, your other fave, Madonna.
Yeah, yeah. And I just feel like everyone was so shook.
I will say, yeah, that one did shock me more than this one did.
We'll get into that
this one, I in 2000, when she did the VMAs, because the year before, she was an opener for the boy bands. The boy bands were the stars of this thing. And also, there was a lot of, like, I feel like a lot of rock people. And like, she wasn't really the four. And then in this one, when she did it, I was like, she is now a superstar. Like, this completely. Was the moment where the I was like, she is, like, my little nerdy fave is now a fucking legend. Like this did it for me. I was like, holy shit.
I can't rank them. I really can't. I just I would say different. For like shock value, 2003 was my favorite, but this was the first true shocker.
Yes.
But they were all shocking in various ways. Perhaps lastly memorable would be the Grammys performance from the 2000s, which I don't even think a lot of people.
Well, not just the performance.
Well,
but the Grammys.
The Grammy.
Of 2000.
Oh, yes.
Should we go into it?
We should.
We're going to get into it. Buckle up, girls.
Buckle up, ladies.
Don't even come for us. I'm just saying that in advance. So where should we start with this? Should we start with, like, what happened at the Grammys and then get into the performance? Or should we do the performance and then?
I think the performance.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. We watched this back as well recently. Yes. And it is a rough start.
Yes, vocally, it is a rough start.
Yeah, there's like a squeal of the microphone.
I will say I stan the peacock shit that's going on behind her.
Yeah, it's very Illuminations Epcot, if anyone knows the reference.
No, what's that? Illuminati?
It's like a tapestry. It's like a...
Someone out there will know.
Tapestry of Nations, is it called? Oh, no. I haven't been in a minute, but they do like a whole parade thingy, and then later there's a firework. Anyway, they're... I'm failing my Disney stand-up right now. But there's like things that they hold up, like puppets.
Like gigantic peacock feathers.
Gave me that.
And which I stand.
Yeah, as a Disney
queen. The
colors
were beautiful.
That made sense for her. And her face looks like I'm at the fucking Grammys. Oh, shit. I need to really sing. And she oversings. Like, not to say like does too well, but just really tries any note that might come to her.
Also, the one part about this that I think is hilarious is the little dancers on the stairs in front of her that are wearing like
fucking
tulip lotus flower costumes. It is so embarrassing.
Very embarrassing.
Like, but what's happening on stage with Britney with the colors of the dress and the peacock shit is very chic. I'm very into it.
Very chic. And as we previously discussed, a true tragedy that the song was From the Bottom of My Broken Heart.
Oh, yeah.
That is just inexcusable. It could have been sometimes even. It just, like, why? Anyway, Larry.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah, we don't know about that. But then the peacock feathers flop down.
They
she
do.
She scurries away.
She scurries away. Not to, well.
No.
You see her fully get out.
To what is honestly one of the weirdest... Mildly scary.
Definitely scary.
Freaky. No, that was... setups. Mm-hmm. So, like, she does this... Okay, the mix is incredible. Mix is good.
Yes.
Very 90s, like, really good mix. But there's these rows of robot transformer...
Like
dancers
that
are puppets. Yes.
It's like foosball robots.
Foosball dancers attached to... I think the real person's in the middle, and there's two on each side. Mm-hmm. But they're puppets, so they're attached by the arms and legs, so they move completely identically. And I remember seeing it, I'm like, oh, what the hell are these aliens? Like, it's really creepy looking
at first.
And then she just comes out in a chic cat suit.
Yeah.
With prom hair mm-hmm. and black sneakers.
Black sneakers, again. Everyone.
But she serves.
She serves. And she is at her best when there's a break. And she's just like, you know what? I just got to dance. Mm-hmm. And she just does it. And it's very fierce. And she's kicking and flicking.
Very sharp.
Very sharp.
Whole new mix.
Whole new mix, yeah. And that's actually the highlight of that performance. It is a weird one. It is saved by the ending. It's just a weird showcase for the Grammys in general.
Yeah.
And important that she was there. And
it's a good watch.
It's a good
highly
watch.
Recommend.
Yeah, and it's super 2000.
Yes.
Like, that is, like, epitome of pop in 2000.
The Power Rangers.
Power Rangers, Zordon, wheel. Whatever wheel. Is it Zordon, or is it?
Used to have those at, it was like Spencer's at the mall.
Yeah.
They had those little discs that you could buy that had the lightning.
Yeah, I was scared
of them. It
was
literally one of those.
Yeah.
Just on the stage.
Mm-hmm.
Very,
very lava lamp, very.
Yeah. Lava lampney.
Lava lampney. So we're at the show.
There was something that happened at this Grammys, and we're going to get into, let's just talk about it.
All right.
So
what happened?
Britney Spears was nominated for Best New Artist alongside Kid Rock. Macy Gray and Christina Aguilera. So, okay. Now, I would just like to say, first of all, that Christina Aguilera is my number two. So don't even come for me.
He has a very complicated relationship.
I do. She's my number two. And also, Brad is a Legendina stan.
Yeah, it's true.
We love... I mean, there's literally a copy of Bionic on my desk.
Yeah,
do you see
there
it?
Is. Yeah, it's for good
it's
luck.
Right there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the fan edition's right behind my couch. So.
It's for another project that I'm trying to work on. Anyway, but there is a copy of Bionic on my desk right now. There's proof. There's two other eyeballs that can validate that.
There is Bionic.
So, Christina Aguilera, shockingly, I'm not saying this, like, from me.
Right.
But she was visibly shocked by her win here.
Yeah.
And there's been a 20, almost 20 year debate from stans.
Yeah.
Who really should have won this award? And was it a curse? Was it just, should Britney have won? Should Christina have won? Should Macy Gray have won? What about Kid Rock?
Kid Rock. Ultimately, Kid Rock is the agreed upon answer for that category. Yeah, it's hard to say because also the Best New Artist winners for the 10 years prior are pick a mix of legends and flops.
Yes.
It's like Millie Vanilli, Mariah Carey, Toni Braxton, Sheryl Crow, Paula Cole, Lauryn Hill, Leanne Rimes, Hootie and the Blowfish. Some good, some not so good.
Right. It's a weird category.
It is.
Like to think about because, yeah,
is.
You're right. It really is. Some of them are iconic and some wind up, you never hear from them again. So
right.
It's almost like the Grammy team doesn't really have a pulse on what's...
The finger on the pulse.
Yeah.
I am fine with how this turned out.
Mm-hmm.
Because ultimately, Christina's always going to be more of a Grammys girl to them. I think best pop vocal sort of girl. Whereas Britney was much more a spectacle.
Yes.
It was still surprising, though.
I am going to also controversially say...
Uh-oh. Oh, no.
...that I agree with the Grammys' decision in choosing Christina Aguilera.
Mm.
And so that settles that. So now you can all stop dragging each other.
Oh, that won't stop.
Oh, no.
Literally. Like, the Britney and Christina feud to this day is as vicious as it was in 2002 for no reason anymore. They're both just like, yeah, we do a song with each other, whatever.
Right.
And everyone's just like, fuck you.
I know. And it's so funny because I stan both.
Yeah.
And I have stan both since day one.
Right, right.
And we always joke. Like, you guys have heard already. We're, like, what, three episodes into this? You hear that we've already talked.
Referenced her.
Yeah, we
several
reference.
Times.
We shade Britney to... But for some reason, when you crack a joke about Christina Aguilera, they're coming for your children, your family.
Yeah.
You are scalped wigless.
I'm in the witness protection program because of my Legendina series.
Yeah, they cannot. No one can take a joke.
No, certainly not. I've seen a lot.
So I'm here to say, for the record, that I agree that Christina Aguilera should have been Best New Artist in 2000. And the reason why is because if you look at the chart performance of both of them, Christina did perform better on the charts. She had more number ones from the first album, Genie, Come On Over, and What a Girl Wants. I believe, if my memory serves me well, all went number one. Britney did not have that same.
She's never had luck on the charts, right, without a few exceptions. It's
so
true.
I can understand why the Grammy voters would say this is the best new artist, because the singles went higher. And I'll leave it at that.
That's fair to say. Mm-hmm, now, right? If you want to talk about snubs, we're going to talk about 2003 with Ashanti losing to Norah Jones. Fuck you all.
Oh, my God.
So, justice for Ashanti. Let's fight the bigger battles here.
Yeah. Also this year, in 2000, was her first appearance on Saturday Night Live, which was pretty epic for her, considering this was only her,
huge,
you know, second album.
Right. Yeah, it was a big moment for her, and she also addressed some big rumors.
Yeah.
At the time.
Now, I don't remember watching this, because I think we've discussed a little bit in these, yeah, earlier years that we were kind of, not clueless to everything, but,
yeah,
you know, we were young, so I was outside. I was on the beach,
and
on the,
I was
trampoline.
Not outside. I was inside playing EverQuest.
Yes, also inside of the closets.
That's very true.
So I didn't see this live, but I remember seeing it on the news or something that someone was watching. Oh, I remember, because the SNL skit,
yes,
she had those robotic boobs that,
yes,
just started.
So this was her opening monologue.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, like, we can't even understate how much of a subject her boobs were, yeah, in the media. That I will distinctly remember, like, as,
yes,
a kid. It's just, are the boobs real? Are the boobs real? Because we had that moment overnight, seemingly, where she was chestily enhanced looking.
Yes, which that was at the Kids' Choice Awards. Which,
yes,
I remember watching. I was allowed to watch the Kids' Choice,
okay,
Awards.
Yes.
And
Cowgirl grew up in a Handmaid's Tale.
yeah, basically. yeah, I remember watching this Kids' Choice Awards live. And even I, at the time, was like, whoa.
It was a very in-your-face,
yeah,
ensemble. It was the white tube top, right? It was white? Yeah.
Yes, it was a white, very tight.
Very tight.
It was cold in that arena.
It was cold.
If you will.
Yes.
And Rosie O'Donnell was there. She was like off to the... I just love how many times Rosie O'Donnell...
Rosie keeps coming
is
up.
Like the ultimate Britney stan.
Yeah.
She was on stage or whatever, like cheering or something.
Yeah.
And then she talked about it on Rosie's talk show or whatever. I think Rosie said something like, Britney, you got to make sure that like you're covered up or something, mm-hmm, and made some kind of a... I don't even know.
Yes, you're right.
But that's really all I remember.
Yeah,
from this.
I mean... I definitely remember. That was a great opening monologue.
So good.
You can pause this podcast and go watch it right now for full effect. But basically, with spoiler alert, she is gesticulating with her hands, and then all of a sudden, her boobs are moving in different directions.
Oh, yeah.
Hilarious.
Tit flu.
Tit flu.
The meme was born.
Thus, one of her many efforts at clapping back at the haters, just with her boobs.
Mm-hmm. And I would say it was a good clapback.
It was a really,
she was
good,
really
clap.
Funny.
It really was. And also, you have to think about it. She was 19, 18.
Something like that.
It's like our society is trash that she had to even make fun of it,
yeah,
in retrospect. She's a baby. Anyway, feel bad about it, everyone.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of her SNL skits are really funny.
Yeah.
Also, she was on All That. I don't think that was this year. That was later, but...
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
Other thoughts about 2000 era? Yeah, we got the tour.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Live in Hawaii, we had the evolution of her tour setup going from teeny... It's still very
She went
teeny.
From a mall to arenas.
She did, real fast.
And again, I was not aware that she was on tour back then. I had no idea.
Yeah, I was scared of people, so I was never going to be at a concert. And yeah, it's just so foreign to me that like kids my age went to concerts. Mm-hmm. I was just like, absolutely not.
Yeah, I just like wasn't allowed.
No, no, no. But great for them that they saw it.
I know, right?
Yeah. Many of our friends did go to the original series of concerts, which
I'm just
God, that's incredible.
Videos on YouTube.
Yeah, those like painstakingly stitched together fan-made videos from people's dad's VHS tapes.
God bless them, though, for making these videos.
Incredible, because Larry won't put out the fucking DVD of them.
Nope.
Although we do have the live and more one from Hawaii. But still, we needed the baby tour in HD. Mm-hmm. Make it happen. I don't care if the technology wasn't there. Make it happen. But yeah, the tour happened and we got the Live and More DVD, which is super goofy and fun. I highly recommend. Yeah, it's super great. What else happened in 2000?
Oh my God. We almost missed something.
What?
From this year.
What did we miss?
Invented Christmas. Santa is quaking in his boots.
Mrs. Claus is wigless.
Santa, can you hear me? I have been so good this year. And all I want is one thing. B10.
I was going to say, for you, a top.
Oh. That too. You can tweet me at tkylemack. This was the year that Platinum Christmas came out and gave us the one and only Britney Spears Christmas song.
Yes. My only wish this year is the new standard for Christmas music.
Yes.
Nothing else has been good except for, okay, we Wrapped in Red. But otherwise, oh my God. We love Wrapped in Red.
Wrapped
hey,
in
Kelly.
Red, my only wish this year.
Yeah.
All I Want for Christmas Is You.
Mm-hmm.
And My Kind of Christmas.
Yes.
Cascade's Christmas album.
Oh, yeah.
Also iconic.
Yes.
This is really one of the best Christmas songs ever.
It really is. Also goes down perfectly in the middle of July when you're doing your Britney night, funnily enough.
This is also true.
Yeah.
I swear to God, the next time Brad does a... Britney night in New York City, you need to stop what you're doing, get on your flights.
Yeah.
Call
everyone that's listening.
Don't call. Get sick in it.
Take a kayak.
Whatever you need to do to get to Manhattan to come to these Britney nights, you have not lived until you have experienced Joy of Pepsi and My Only Wish This Year in a bar.
It's true. It's
while
festive.
Slightly intoxicated or not.
Yeah.
We don't judge.
The joy of Christmas really is what gets you high with this one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so festive.
Yeah.
I have seen people kick dancing on chairs to this. I have seen people making out to this. The spirit moves mm-hmm. through you with this song.
It really does. Also, I will say that hearing All I Want for Christmas Is You in the middle of July at
yeah.
a bar is also iconic. Only in New York.
Yeah, I would have to say.
I don't think the locals know that experience, and I feel so bad for them. Oh, what a good song.
It really is. If it's not included in your holiday, I'm sorry that you hate Christmas and you hate festivity mm-hmm. and fun.
And you will be receiving 14 copies of Bionic and a lump of coal in your stocking.
And you have no excuse if you're Jewish, because I love it too.
Santa?
Yes.
Oh my God. Well, should we assign a knee?
A what's the knee?
What's the knee? Tell me what's
the knee?
Knee?
What's the knee? Knee? Tell me what's the...
Spill the knee.
Spill the knee.
Yeah, so we've been doing this thing where we assign a knee.
A knee
to
each
every
year.
It's just a thing that stands do.
Yeah.
I know what mine is. 1998 was pigtail knee.
Yeah.
1999 was vocal knee.
Mm-hmm.
2000 for me is superstar knee.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go there.
Wow. It's true, though. I am going to say queen knee.
Oh.
Because as we discussed, this is when it became clear that she wasn't just a one-hit wonder, and she wasn't just a flavor of that year. It was like the full domination has begun and would continue for many years. I think Oops gave her the crown for sure.
Yes. This really was the year, I think, that it solidified her as a pop culture moment.
Definitely. Teen queen-y, maybe, because at the time, it was like, maybe we didn't know for sure that she would be a legend lasting the distance, but queen of the teens for
right.
sure.
This is also, I feel like this is the year when, because I, as a Spice Girl stan, do you remember when they would go to different towns and stuff and the crowd size, it would show the thousands of people that would show up to see them, like, at, you know,
yeah
wherever, like, you guys, you know, I feel like this is the first year that we saw that for Britney. Like, she would go to TRL
and everyone outside screaming
of people.
I just remember that gay in the turtleneck during the VMA's performance.
Oh my God. The baby blue.
The baby blue.
Turtleneck.
He's like, okay, this is.
What is she doing these days?
Where is she, though?
If you're listening, there. Okay, so if you watch the VMA performance, in the beginning, there is a gay in the pit wearing a. Well, I shouldn't say that. Should I assign labels? That was a gay.
That was a gay.
She was. She had she had her arms crossed.
She might not have known at the time.
She was a Christina.
She looked like me, like, wandering into an express for the first time, being like, these clothes are interesting.
The bleached hair, the turtleneck.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Arms crossed in the pit. Yeah, just mood.
Mood. Same big mood.
What was I talking about?
That the crowds were so big.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I feel like this is the first time you actually saw it.
Yeah, the bass was getting bigger. The crowds were getting bigger. It's true. And TRL was so unstoppable then. And all the signs and people coming out like crazy. And I don't know that the rivalry really...
It was there.
It was there. 2000, it was there. But it came to a head once they kind of addressed it in the media in later years. But early stands were like, excuse me.
It's so funny because I just remember I stand all of them. Like, I stand Christina, Jessica. I have to admit,
like, I full-on hated Christina then.
Really?
Yeah, I was just like, how dare she?
Oh, my God. See, I only disliked NSYNC.
Oh.
But, like, I stand Destiny's Child.
Yeah.
Brittany, Mandy, Jessica, Christina, Willa Ford.
Oh, Willa Ford.
I stand everyone literally except NSYNC.
I stand NSYNC in solidarity with Britney once that relationship happened, because I didn't really care otherwise.
Boys, girl.
Backstreet's better, like, objectively, all across the board, but I, like, gave her that until they broke up, and then it was trash. Do love Digital Get Down, though.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
But you said Destiny's Child. Forgot to point out, opening acts during Britney's crazy 2K tour were LFO and Destiny's Child.
You heard that correctly. Ladies and gentlemen, Beyonce. For Britney Spears. I said it.
And narrated a film about her.
Oh, that's right.
On MTV.
So good.
And it is just so bizarre to see, and it's actually so lovely to see that she went to Piece of Me with Jay-Z. Like, and that there's just this sort of...
Yeah, I stand all of them.
Respect.
Back then too.
Yeah, and yeah, there's a mutual respect. I think that obviously they're not in the same category by any means. No. They're doing much different things. But Britney has always said nice things about Beyonce and vice versa, which I love a lot. But then again, everyone says nice things about Britney.
That is true.
Because if you don't, then you're ugly. I think that's just fact. I think that's
also, if
proven.
You say something that's, you're not honest. It's not true. Because I don't really think she's mean.
Yeah, it's true. Like, she's just
right,
not.
Right.
But there was another point that I was going to make about you standing everyone. I didn't stand Christina until, this is so controversial, and I don't think I've ever admitted this.
Wow.
Didn't stand her until Bionic, because I watched her flopping and I was like, oh, that's kind of sad. And was like, no, like, she can exist too. I'm sorry. So I kind of, like, reverse did my homework and realized that, like, everything was kind of a slay in her own way. Then was, like, very sad that she got all that backlash and, I mean, continues to, for her left of center decisions. So I'm, like, definitely a fake fan, but now I really do love a lot of Christina's discography. Kyle is just wide mouth.
I
shook.
Am shocked.
Shooked.
Bionic.
I love Bionic.
Well, yes. So obviously, but that would be a different podcast.
Because I realized, I guess it was sort of like, I realized, oh, she is the villain. Like, she is like this legendina.
Right.
Like, larger than life character. And I love that.
Wow.
I know. I mean, like, I'm don't get shocked. Me wrong. Like, I loved Dirty when it happened, Fighter and all of that. Like, I just like anybody else did. Yeah. But I was still like, that bitch hates Britney.
Yeah.
Oh my God. See, I was, when they had the rivalry, I was like, this is fake. They really are friends, because wow. I remember seeing them on Mickey Mouse Club. Yeah, and yeah. So I was like, this is all made up. And I like stanned both of them, because I was like, this is bullshit.
Yeah.
They're making it up. They're friends. And it wasn't until like years later that I was like, oh wait, maybe there actually is something here. But I still stanned both. So I was like, oh.
You were very ahead of your time there.
Wow. Oh my God. No, I stanned all the girls. In my pocket, Christina, Brittany. Oh my God!
I definitely had an allegiance for a long time. Certainly love Mandy, love Willa.
I'm shook.
Yeah, Christina, I had a grudge. I was mad at her existence until I realized
the which didn't this come out in 2000? The My Kind of Christmas
mm-hmm.
DVD.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, iconic.
I, in retrospect, realized that.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Maybe we need a bonus episode.
My journey to enlightenment.
Yeah.
Finding the lotus in me.
Yeah. How did this steer so far off course? Actually, I feel like it's really eye-opening, though.
It is. I don't know if that means more people will come for me or less, but I genuinely am a fan now.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, that definitely was a thing back then. I fed into the rivalry completely.
We should make this a bonus episode.
Maybe so.
Where we just go through all Christina.
Yeah. I mean, that could be its own podcast, to be honest.
Yes. It's true. Wow. Mm-hmm. 2000. Because, I mean, really in 2000, it's when... What was that?
Christina coming in.
Oh my God.
Christina's like, you're not a fucking fan from day one.
Bionic? I felt like 2000 was very MTV... Making the video. Now Christina's coming for my voice. I feel like 2000 was very MTV, making the video, TRL.
Yeah.
Everyone was kind of making appearances all the time. The music videos were everywhere. It was like rivalries were starting. Narratives were happening. It was when the pop queens and kings and everyone was starting to become like a... its own narrative.
Yeah, and I really wasn't woke to that for a long time. An embarrassing long amount of time, until I guess I started working in media and was like, oh,
this is part of the problem.
Fake news. Yeah. I mean, a little earlier than that, but yeah, because Bionic came out in college, and that's when I saw the light.
Wow.
And I saw Burlesque, and I really saw the light.
Oh my God. We really need to do a whole something else of talking about this, because now I'm like, oh, I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
Anyway. Back to Britney.
Britney.
2000. That, I think, really sums up 2000 for me.
Totally. Yeah. We have a massive sophomore record,
mm-hmm.
a bigger and better tour in a crazy short amount of time.
The media pressure is starting to heat up.
Media's heating up. Rivalries or awards are not won, but...
They soon will be.
And charts are not necessarily stormed. But as it turns out, you don't need to have a high chart to impact the culture for years to come. So anyway, that's our legend in 2000.
That sums up Y2K.
That does. Y2K-ney.
K.
If you seek Y2K-ney.
Oh my God. Well, I think that winds up this episode, wraps up this episode. Thank you guys for listening. And shall we jump into 2001?
Yeah, let's go there.
A year. It continues. In the next episode.
Keeps getting better.
Oh my God. Enough.
I can't make that reference.
Christina too enough. This is a Britney Spears podcast. Get the hell out of my apartment right now. You fake fucking fan. You didn't even listen to Back to Basics.
I did listen to Back to Basics.
You're a liar.
Fuck you, Scott Storch.
Oh my, a bop. Okay, anyway, we're going back to Britney Spears, 2001. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening.
Follow me, because I'm a true stan, at T. Kyle Mack, and send Brad
hate news.
Okay, so if you're listening to this right now, actually, because I'm really curious if anyone does this,
Oh my God.
Spam at Mew Mews on Twitter with lotus flower emojis right now, if you're listening to this. Just hundreds of lotus flower emojis. As many characters can fit into your reply to Mew Mew's right now. Pause.
The fighters are about
and
to kill
spam
me.
Spam Brad's Twitter account. And we will see you in next year, next episode, 2001.
See you in 2001.
See you soon.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered.
Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.